Okay, you ready to do this?
One second. All right, I'm ready.
Hello there. Welcome to Bread Time. I'm Charlie Dietz.
And I'm Gabriel Valdivia.
Today, we're going to be talking about something that I've been wanting to talk about for quite a while now on the show, and Gabe has repeatedly shot me down. So today, I'm getting my way, and I'm going to use it with a current contemporary topic, something that happened this week. So the Galaxy S8 phone was introduced officially this week, and one of the things that that phone can do is they are going to sell a dock with it. And that dock has a couple outputs on it. It's got some USB ports, HDMI port, Ethernet jack, and like a USB-C port for power. So you can take this phone. Oh, it has a fan on it too, to cool the phone. You take the phone, you put it in this dock, and then you have these accessories, which are on a desk or something, and you can now utilize the phone as a computer, or what we consider a desktop computer today. And the way they accomplish this is it's still running Android, but on this screen, it shows you windowed versions of apps, and they basically act like the tablet apps act for Android, except they're windowed. You can have multiple ones up at the same time. You can resize them. It basically is a desktop computer as we know it. I saw the demo for this and I was impressed. I don't want this phone with this setup, but this leads me to a future, which I'm excited about. There was also a Apple patent like filed fairly recently, which is, it shows like basically what looks like a MacBook, but the trackpad is missing and there's like a place to put the phone right there. And you could imagine similarly, it would be just kind of a dumb shell, but it unlocks this power of your phone to make it to be like a laptop computer.
This is a dream, right? This is what we talked about way back in episode, like when we talked about like post phone future, right? Post apps. This is it. This is the switch of smartphones. This is like the modular future we wanted.
Okay, I'm going to talk first like why I think that it's so important. I think number one, basically you have to buy devices right now to get along in the world, right? And some people want a computer, some people want an iPad, but everyone, basically like everyone wants a phone because the phone is mobile, like truly mobile. And the phone is just kind of like the default, most like natural accessory to keep with you at all times as a communication device. What excites me about this future is that phone becomes the centralized physical location for your computing experience. And I think that unlocks a lot of cool stuff. The past decade has probably been a lot about cloud computing because you're trying to like keep things in sync, have stuff like offloaded. And I think that worked really well for a world where we had a bunch of devices that needed to communicate with each other. But there's a future where you have a single device, which of course this thing is going to be backed up and stuff via the cloud. But the idea is that this device has all of the information you need immediately available on it, whether that be the apps you use, whether that be like your, all of your email or whatever messages, by having everything in a single device, you unlock a lot of like speed options. And also this is just like the beginning of what you can do with the device, right? Like the device could be a phone, it could be a laptop, it could be a tablet, it could be a virtual reality device, it could be an augmented reality device. It's a single device that is your computer and it can be used in many different ways.
Yeah. So what was the topic that I told you that I shut you down on? What do you want to talk about this?
I don't know. I thought you didn't like it.
Well, so I can see two things we can take this topic on, two paths. So one notable thing based on this article that you shared is that the OS actually changes. There's like a new skin when you plug it into the dock. Like the OS changes, right? And now you have something that is much more akin actual windows that are overlapping over each other. So that's interesting. That's maybe one question that are desktop OSs inherently supposed to use that language, or can the phone OS translate into desktop?
I think what's cool is, like, if you think about virtual reality too, like, you have different inputs for the different ways that you would use the device, right? So like if it's on some sort of laptop or desktop, there's either a trackpad or a mouse as sort of that like pointer, that primary action. In virtual reality, you don't have a keyboard, but you have some sort of three-dimensional pointer, right? So, and with a phone, you have two-dimensionality, but your finger physically touches the screen. So you have that one-to-one input. So they do all need different OS skins, right? Because you have different input methods for the different ways that you would be using this, right?
Totally. Yeah, that makes sense. The second thing I wanted to mention is this is kind of a reaction or a counter argument to the cloud future, right? So there's two alternatives. There's one where we own multiple devices and they're all optimized for different things. So a desktop is much more powerful than a smartphone, and a TV has different strengths, and they all work together with the internet to be connected to the thing that we call the cloud. So the promise of the cloud is that you can have multiple devices play to their strengths and talk to the internet, right? To this thing that we call the cloud, and connect seamlessly. This seems to be a reaction to that, or a counter argument, where we require only one device, and that device connects to different displays and different types of inputs, and that's how we interact with the technology around us. So to me, it's interesting that it's kind of a shift in the way we've been thinking about technology over the past decade or so.
Yeah, it seems like a reverse in a way, right?
Yeah, like we're going back, and now the phone is the only thing you need, and everything else is like a peripheral, basically.
I've not used Alexa or Google Home actually very much, but I think the way it works is this: like Alexa actually works independent of a device. It's like it works on its own and contacts a server and delivers information back. I believe Google Home actually syncs to one device, right? And I was thinking, when assistants get better, wouldn't it be cool that like those home voice interface type devices, if they just sync to your device, like it would recognize your voice and then you were getting answers that were tailored to you because your device was actually powering it or whatever, and it knew you really well. That's kind of cool too, because you just imagine going anywhere and being able to use those type of assistants, but you are going to be utilizing your particular brand of assistant.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and go on the limb and say that I do not like this future. I mean, I like the idea of the modularity of my phone plugging into all these different peripherals, but I'd much rather a future where every device connects to a cloud and I can just play to their strengths. The problem with that is that we just haven't gotten to a point where it's seamless enough, or as seamless as, in theory, a single device would be.
I think, well, I'll give you an argument of why this is a better future, and I think it comes down to money. So in the world where I have to buy a laptop to do my work, I have to buy a phone to get around and communicate, and I have to buy like a Alexa at home to like turn on my lights or whatever, right? If the laptop and Alexa require their own computing power, essentially, I'm just paying way more. If the phone is the primary computer and everything else is like a cheaper, dumb companion to that, and a cheaper accessory to that, that's like a more economically efficient way to handle the whole thing. Because I have all this power in my pocket. This phone is extremely powerful. It is more powerful than some laptops at this point. why would I not be taking advantage of it?
Yeah, that's a great point. I think now we're now just speculating about the future, but in theory, so what this sounds like is like you're basically carrying a CPU with you in your pocket, right? And you plug in that CPU to different peripherals. But I think the life cycle of a cell phone is probably shorter than the one for a CPU. You know, certainly new phones come out every year and not everyone can upgrade their phones every year. But I assume that they upgrade it more often than they upgrade their computers. Of course, price plays a big role there. But I wonder if this is kind of taking us to a path where planned obsolescence is kind of baked into every device we own, right? So, you know, people don't, like, I assume people don't buy new TVs every year. They don't buy new computers every year. They don't buy new light systems every year. But what they do more often, at least, is upgrade their phones. Some people upgrade their phones every year. Some people upgrade their phones, I would assume, more often than something like a TV or a computer. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if this is a future in which the phone itself is the thing that we worry about, like keeping up to date, and everything else is just a dumb device around it.
Another thing that this stuff like inspired out of me was I was thinking back to when I was maybe my very early 20s and I had an Apple laptop. And I felt like at that particular time, the Apple laptop, it unlocked all this stuff out of me. It had GarageBand on it. It had iMovie on it. I got Photoshop on it, right? Like I had this software on the computer, which like gave me legitimate outlets for my creativity. And like, it gave me the trajectory that it put me on to my professional career because I got excited about these technologies and what they did. And I saw what it unlocked out of me and all this possibility. And I think about someone right now who's like 20 years old, who doesn't have like a lot of money because they haven't started to figure out how to make it yet or whatever. And if you're telling me that there's a phone out there now that can actually like run like these creative apps potentially that I could take with me anywhere I go and like use different ways, that sounds like a pretty inspiring device. Cause I think to myself like, cool, it's the thing I use all the time, but if I can also really start to make stuff up on it. And I think that's what a desktop or a laptop interface to me still has, like why those things are still in the game is because I can start to imagine myself doing more serious stuff on it than I would on a touch interface. And I think like, well, it brings me to my point here, which is Apple going to do this? They kind of got to do this, right?
I mean, who knows? I think we'll find out what Apple does. But, you know, one thing that kind of like reminded me of is from the app developer standpoint, if the phone is now the hub for all these different apps, like think about like, for example, Premiere or, you know, Photoshop or something like that. As a developer of an app like that, now you must think about the desktop as well as mobile use case of your app, right? Assuming that you can use the app on the go or in your desktop and potentially even in VR, like treating these as like seamless kind of experiences that can serve all the same user, that's kind of crazy.
I think it's, I mean, for developers in one way, it's kind of ideal because you can basically share the same code base on the back end, right? Like you build a model for an app that like does the stuff it's got to do. And then like user interfaces are kind of like cheap to build practically compared to like the heavy lifting of a lot of, you know, apps that do. No,
but I imagine you, like we established that every peripheral, right, given that they have a different display and different set of inputs, they require a different quote unquote skin for the OS and theoretically for the apps as well. And I think along with that, the types of things that you do on each mode, right, on your desktop versus on mobile versus on VR, you'll do different things. So that means that now, or not now, but in the future, as an app developer, you need to think about all those different contexts of use and those different mental models as a user to serve with your app, right? Like in an app like Premiere or something, you probably won't have access to all that functionality in the mobile context. And it's probably things that you won't have access in the desktop context that you do have access in mobile. Like, I don't know, like location or something that is more context aware. That seems like a pretty pivotal change in the way we think about app development. Right now, we kind of tailor it to a very specific context of use. But if apps start becoming more fluid and supporting those three very different use cases, I think it's a pretty big change.
I think of like the music application sort of scenario, like maybe Ableton Live or something, right? So like on a desktop, you really would probably want to have access to a timeline and like real strong editing tools and stuff. But maybe if you plugged it into some sort of tablet interface, it's like, this is just like my live performance tool now or whatever. And then in VR, who knows what, maybe you have like special instruments that only work in 3D or whatever. But it's pretty exciting to think about that you can run all of those different interfaces off of a core set of software instead of like what you've seen with maybe like Adobe or something like that, where they've had to create separate versions of their apps for mobile that are like really broken down, right? So like you think about like Lightroom or something like that, and then they have like Lightroom for iOS, and it's like it's a different app. You know, like you can imagine if it's like running the same code behind it, but it's just a different interface. That is pretty exciting.
Definitely. From a creative standpoint, I think like I'm starting to think about how that would affect the way I create software, and that sounds really exciting. From a user standpoint, it sounds very convenient and a lot of possibilities open up. I wonder if from a business standpoint, how that changes the model, right? Like, does that mean that like most apps will now acquire a subscription base, right? Because now they can't charge you for, theoretically, in the future, they won't be able to charge you for a desktop version and a mobile version, a VR version, because they're all kind of like transition smoothly between each platform. So I wonder if that would affect the business model around apps. Like, will we see more freemium content? Will we see more subscription-based apps? How would that work?
I don't know, but I think subscription-based is pretty strong as a contender right now because it tends to work for these apps that are prosumer level or whatever they call it. Like, I think of, you know, like Adobe Suite in general, like you pay into certain types of software that you'd need, and then you just get it on the different platforms that you'd need it. You use it for the time that you're using it. And if you forever or for whatever reason stop using it, then you cancel the subscription. Apple App Store is taking on a subscription model over the past 2 years now or whatever. And that seems to make developers pretty happy and allow them to continue developing. So
what's the downside of this feature? Like what's wrong with having one phone that connects to different peripherals?
I think it's weird, but I think it's like going to be a regression from all of the cloud stuff that's happened, right? Like I know we'll have backups and stuff, but what if there's a world where syncing is less important? Let me restate. Syncing has never worked great, right? Like no one has ever really nailed syncing. There's problems across any system that uses syncing still to this day. Like no one's like crushed the syncing model. So maybe that's like a good thing. But it feels weird because it just feels like it's been part of our lives so long that we've been thinking like cloud-based is the final solution.
Well, I think the real benefit of syncing is collaboration, like with other people, right? Like, I don't really like if it was just me interacting with my own content across different devices, I'd much rather have one device that connects everywhere. But as soon as I involve any other person, then then we need to figure out how to transfer files and data back and forth. And that's where I think something like syncing really shines.
I just thought about this. I don't know how this hasn't come into my mindscape until now, but like the Nintendo Switch is kind of like a pretty interesting thing to bring up here because it basically did this already, right? There's first off, the Nintendo Switch has no cloud model. The Nintendo Switch is all on the device. You plug it into the different stuff. Like you plug it into a TV if you want to use it there. You hold it in your hands if you want to use it there. You put it on a table if you want to use it there. Different controllers interface with it for different reasons. And they kind of like went this direction already.
I mean, That's literally the first thing I said in this episode. So that is a proof of how much you listen to what I say.
You said the Switch earlier on?
I said this is the Switch of phones.
Oh, I didn't know what you meant.
Yeah, I think the Switch is real. Like, the Switch dream is real. Like, the idea of taking this device and, like, popping it over on a table and playing it with your friend and then taking that and, like, playing it while you wait for a bus or whatever. Like, that stuff, like, it's a pretty cute commercial, but it's actually the way I use it, which is pretty mind-blowing. The device, the way it's built or the software inside the device, that's a different question. But the actual modality of the device, I think, is definitely a reality.
The iPad Pro hints at this, right? With the smart connector, because I have an iPad Pro and I use it with the keyboard case. I use it in this way. Sometimes I detach it where it's just the iPad in my hands. Sometimes I use it with the keyboard. Sometimes I use it with the pencil. So it kind of hints at that world already, but the phone has never gotten there.
I think to call back the very first episode of Bread Time, that will be the point where the phone changes its name from iPhone to like something that's not phone, like some like the Apple Slate or something, where like that, like Apple Hub or whatever. Like that's the point where the phone is no longer a phone. It's a CPU. It's this thing that you carry with you that powers everything around you.
Yeah, I actually agree. I think when you said that in episode one, I scoffed, but I didn't want to shut you down in episode one, but now I believe you.
Yes, success. This whole podcast is now vindicated. Cool. So what do you think about this future? Do you think we need one phone to rule them all? Or would you rather a future that uses a cloud-based system where you have multiple devices that all play to their strengths and you rely on the almighty cloud to connect us all? Let us know. We have a bunch of ways you can communicate with us. We have a Twitter. We're at BreadTimeFM. We have a Slack, which you can access by messaging us on Twitter through our DMs. And we have a Spectrum frequency, which is a Spectrum chat, which is spectrum.chat/breadtime.
Cheers.